Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Okay, I have this, like, we were talking just a bit ago and about driving, and you were like, oh, do you know that parking lots can come through? I was like, oh my God. But it reminded me of a thing is like, you know, when I was riding my bike outside on the roads and stuff, and then I got into a car, I was like, wait a minute. I was kind of driving like I ride, which is a different, I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy, like that's weird, but it was almost more like aggressive, because when you're behind your bike, you have to be so, you know, like, I don't know, there's this level defensive of intensity, driving. Defensive, but it wasn't like I was a defensive driver. It was kind of like, oh, maybe I'm going a little, like, your speed, you get to go your speed that you feel like, but in a car, you don't get to do that. You have to follow the speed limit.
Do you?
I don't know. It was just this weird feeling of like this sort of transition kind of.
Were you wheeling around town?
Yeah. It's like, let me just take this corner. But anyway, that's just a weird thing I thought. I don't know. Do you all have that experience? Do you feel different when you get in your car after you've just been on a ride? I don't know.
I feel like I've always been a bit of a speedy driver.
Oh, okay. So there wasn't a big difference. Okay. So, you know, I have to say that, like, driving can, like, completely stress me out. Like, I don't want to go anywhere that I don't have to go. And then, like, I'll be like, oh, I have to go to that store at 135th Street. No, not unless I'm going to do five other things on the way and on the way back, right? Just because it's like people stress me out. And then the other day I pushed a button accidentally in my car, which I do all the time now because it's like this computer.
Spaceship? It's like a spaceship mobile?
It's a spaceship. And, you know, I'll be damned if I'm going to go, you know, for a two-hour course on how to use this thing. I don't have time for that, okay? So this car does way more things than what I'll ever learn to do. So I accidentally pressed the button and the classical music station came on. And I, you know, I grew up with music. I've trained piano and trumpet. And so that's not an foreign thing to me. And it immediately calmed me down. And I am telling you, that is the only music I listen to. Now I'm like this little Sunday driver. I'm just like so calm anywhere I go in my car. And so that is my new thing to keep me from being like, and it's really, it's just to keep me from having road rage, really.
I mean, I think that's, no, 100%.
Yeah. And to deal with all the other road ragers out there. It's like someone cuts me off, I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I mean, as long as you didn't threaten my life, you know. But yeah, just like, I mean, there are some crazies.
Oh, there are a lot
out there.
Having a good book on tape can also do that. Like, if you have a book that you're really listening
to. Yeah, I mean, you're good at listening to book on tape and podcasts and stuff. Just period. I'm not a good listener. Like, I have to work really hard to pay attention.
You'd be like, well, why should I think the go with it. The classical music speaks.
Yeah, it works for me.
Great.
So, all right. So I wanted to talk about, I was interested in your perspective because everyone has their own perspective when they're watching the Olympics, and you might like pick up on different things. And so I thought it would be fun for us to talk about, I mean, just pick a sport or one sport or two sports or three sports and let me know like what you thought about different things.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You want me to start? Well, you want to pick one? Pick one of the events that happened.
Well, first I have to just say how much I love Snoop Dogg.
Oh!
I love him. And I hope he writes a book one day because I feel like his perspective on the world, where he came from and what he started with his music and the way people probably treated him when he was first, you know, coming out and the way, like, you know, he has experienced a wide berth of society in a lot of different ways, and it's just fascinating to me what he must have seen in terms of like how people have treated him in his different roles in life. And I just think he's freaking adorable. I love him.
Okay, that's really cool. I'll have to pay more attention because I've really just kind of skipped through that stuff.
He's so cute. Fun.
Okay.
Anyway, and that's not where he started from. You know, he really has a unique perspective on life, and I hope he writes a book someday. But one of the things I was noticing last night when I was watching the gymnastics is how much I've appreciated...
This is the women's.
The women's gymnastics. Yes. And how much I have appreciated that, you know, Simone Biles in Tokyo had to take a step back, and, like, that was a whole thing that we're all familiar with. But I've really appreciated how she's handled it coming back this year and how she has, you know, she mentions that and she makes it part of her experience this year, but she has not allowed that to become her identity. Like, she really has created her own space and her own experience in this Olympics where she is fun to watch as the athlete that she is today. And you can see, like, on her face, like, the joy that's there and also how well she's physically performing. And it seems like she has been able to, like, have that experience that she had in Tokyo and, like, move through it. And we're able to see, like, because sometimes I think it's easy to start to identify with, like, some kind of traumatic event. And you take that on as your identity and that becomes, like, how you relate, how people relate to you. It really can become something that's, like, hard to move through and you get to it. And she just gives us a really good example of what it's like to see somebody come through that to the other side and make that part of their identity, but not become somebody that's stuck on that being their identity. And you can see, like, what the resilience looks like and what she's really done a good job of defining herself in this Olympics with that as part of it, but not being the thing. And it's just, I think that's incredibly difficult to do, especially on the stage that she's on.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see that as an example, like how you do that and how she's also really embraced. She really, whenever I hear her talk, she really seems to bring in everybody on her team.
Right.
Like, she really seems to have created a community there. And I don't know. It's just, she really has a grace about her that
she
has been fun to
watch. She shared her issue. Mm-hmm. She got her help.
Mm-hmm.
She's, and she didn't, like, let herself suffer alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of those things are really good inspirational examples set for all of us. And then just, like, even just on that same gymnastics thing, the Suni Lee, her kidney stuff. And it's like, yes, you can.
Yes.
Because if, you know, don't, if you want it, you can go through a lot of, you know, different physical challenges and stuff and come back. I mean, and she wanted it.
So, yeah, she did.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go with one. Do you watch the men's and women's triathlon? Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so the men's triathlon, I had a little bit of I had a lot of spoiler alerts, which sucks because I can't watch this real time, right?
So, of course.
I keep finding out stuff and...
Yeah.
But anyway, my son warned me. He said, okay, Mom, if you have time, you got to watch the end of the men's triathlon. He's like, at least the running part.
Yeah.
So I did. And I mean, I fast forwarded through a little bit of the swim and the bike. I watched the women's the whole way through. But the men, you know, what happened at the end. Right? And that 10K, I mean, was it the last 200 yard? Like, what was it?
It was not much at all. It was like,
last quarter, probably.
A mile.
Yeah. And he just, it's like a button went off. And these guys are running like a 4:30 mile, 4:45 mile, right? I mean, it's not like, it looks kind of like they're going slow because there's nothing relative to them in movement or whatever. So you might thinking like, maybe they're running a 9-minute mile. I don't know, you know, but they weren't. And he kicked into the space. And did you see the interview afterwards that he said he heard one of the greats, I don't know who it was, one of the greats in triathlon said to him as he was running past,
and you know, so just to be clear for our listeners,
yes,
so there was a guy who was in the lead and
and
the guy who ended up winning like passed him like a
so there yeah the guy in the like lead for that entire 10K, there was one guy in pretty much in the lead. He made it from behind and all this story, okay, but then he was in the lead for most of the 10K, and then Yi from Great Britain passes him in the last quarter mile.
And he didn't just pass him, he like it was like a bullet.
It was like a little rocket went off and you're like, where, what happened,
how do you have that?
So one of the greats in triathlon, I don't know who it was, said to him, you know, from this, I call it the sidelines, whatever, out there on the course, said, you know, anything can happen. And so Yi in his interview afterwards said that statement was everything. And then he got to thinking in that split kind of second that, you know, I've worked hard for this. Anything can happen. All these people who got me here, all these people that are here cheering me on, and that was what it took, and he had it. And it was like, you know, I love that because whether, you know, who cares if you're in the Olympics or not? Who cares if you're trying to get on the podium or not? Every single one of us has that moment in a race or even in training where you're like, this isn't happening today, and I fell on my bike, or I feel terrible right at this moment. But you know what? Anything can happen. I feel like that is, tell yourself that. It is not, what's happening in that moment doesn't have to continue.
Well, and you know, it's so interesting. I remember when we were in Coeur d'Alene for Ironman and Craig Alexander won that year. And it was a year like, I mean, Coeur d'Alene is usually very cool, and it was like over 100 degrees. It set all these heat records. Like, it was just madness, and it was a really hard day to race. And he won, and we happened to run into him after the race, and, you know, just got to ask him, like, how in the world he did it. And he said, I just kept giving myself a chance out there. I just kept, you know, it's like, don't decide that it's over before it's over, because it can change on a dime. And once you seal that in your brain, it's not going to happen. So give yourself a chance.
Right. And I feel like we've seen that throughout the games, even in, like, go back to the women's gymnastics for a second. Simone Biles on the beam, she had some bobbles and some wobbles, and she didn't get a good score, and she kind of fell off the leaderboard there for a hot second. But it was like, in her mind, it is the same. It's the same thing. It's just like, anything can happen. I'm not done.
Not to harp on future. This, but that is all mental, my friend.
It is.
It's the mental setting. It's, if you want to get the most out of yourself physically, it's how it's between the ears.
Yes. Anything can happen. Oh my
God. It's great. Such a good reminder.
I love it. I know. Okay. Another thing I noticed, which I've been talking about all week, and I'm sure my patients are about, like, shut up. But you know how we have, and if you haven't listened to our breathing podcast, that's a really good episode. But so in the men's gymnastics, I don't know if you guys all know what the parallel bars are, but don't, that's okay. And I'm going to try to find a clip of this because I need to share with everybody what I saw, and I want everyone to see it, because I'm watching, and one of the men's USA, he's doing the parallel bars, and he's swinging like a monkey all over the place. Like, I mean, that man his heart rate's up. I mean, he's working really hard, right? And then he goes into what is a handstand, basically, on those bars. And they have to hold it for a certain amount of seconds, and he's holding it, and the camera is right on him. And what I can pull out from it is his belly is coming in and out, in and out, in and out, like a bellows, okay? And I'm like, there it is. There it is. Now, that man has trained. He has the neuromuscular wiring, the strength, all the stuff. But he was getting his stability at that moment. What was allowing him to tap into that strength and that neuromuscular awareness was that breath work, the way he was breathing from his belly. And I feel like, I mean, it is so there in your face. And I just want everyone to see it, because that's how we should be so running, cool. Swimming, biking, lifting weights, whatever it is, that's Pilates, so cool. Life. I mean, yeah. So I'm like, all right, can I find that on YouTube? Can I take a clip of that and use it everywhere? I don't know, but I have to find it. And if you guys can go back and find that and look at it, please do, because...
Send it to Amy.
It is, I mean, we can't use all of the muscles that we've trained so hard unless we have that stability in that core. We have to be breathing from there to get that stability. Okay.
So interesting.
All right, anything else you want to...
I will say that... I love watching Katie Ledecky, who does not, right? But we've talked about
swimmer.
She's a swimmer. Yeah, swimmer. Distance swimmer. And so that meaning that, like, her stroke style is much more like what we would use in triathlon than the sprinters that you're seeing. And she's a really good example of, like, what the kick looks like, what you would call a two-beat or a slower kick looks like. And you can really see how her legs... one of the key things that she's doing with her legs is helping with her hip torque, her hip rotation, which is helping create that force. And she's one of the best examples I've ever seen. And we've gotten so much video of her in this Olympics of that underwater stroke. You can also see what she's doing with her arms. There's just some good tips that you can, you know, just get from watching her. And plus, she's a dear. And she just got the most gold medals. Like, she's adorable.
Oh my gosh.
She's very down to earth.
So speaking of that, as I noticed in the swimming, and I wonder if they're going to do this with the track also, is they have these, I don't know, they're like 3D models showing the mechanics, the body mechanics of the swim. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want every single one of those. Not that I'm going to do the butterfly ever, okay? It's cool to, well, especially in my, like, world, right? I love it. But I really want to keep watching back the freestyle form for that. And again, do they have a long distance version of that, or do they just show?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
It would be great if they did, because it's pointing out the exact thing that you're saying is that, hey, this isn't efficient.
Yeah.
You know, a 50 meter freestyle is not the same.
Oh my gosh, it's so different.
They don't even, the men don't even take a breath.
It's, I mean, they don't.
It's insane.
Well, and that's the thing that's like kind of crazy to me is that I think in the triathlon world, there isn't, because, you know, a lot of people are not really super familiar with swimming. And so there's not like, those are just not, I mean, they're both swimming, but they're not even the same thing, right?
I mean, it's like a 100-yard dash versus a marathon.
100%. And I think that in triathlon, like, even with running, I see this too, or even with biking, like, they may be the same sport, but what we're taking from those for triathlon is, like,
very,
very specific to triathlon.
Yeah.
Like, we are not using a 100-meter dash. We're not even really maybe using marathon form for a triathlon. We may be using much more like ultra form, depending on kind of where you are in your training and performance.
Yep, I agree. So speaking of triathlon for a second and swimming, the women's tri, I watched that whole thing all the way through, which was a lot of fun. And then I always forget that the Olympic distance is the Olympic distance. I was like expecting it to be a half or a full Ironman. I always forget. I'm like, oh yeah, that's why the Olympic is called the Olympic. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I went through a weird brain fart at the moment, but I was like, oh yeah. Okay. So, but the swim, so just in listening to the announcers and the, what they were saying about the swim and how it really impacted the results in this particular, event because of that, current, the swimming with the currents. And, so who was our reigning champion was, Flora Duffy. Flora Duffy, am I saying her name right? Duffy was the, was she the winner of the women's tri?
Previous.
Yeah, in Tokyo. Yeah. Okay. So, and she was a strong swimmer and she came out first out of that swim. Okay. And then, so I have two questions here.
And you're talking about Tokyo or you're talking about
I'm talking about this year. She came out in the beginning of the swim this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna jump ship for a second. I'm gonna go away from the swim for just a second because the strategy, I was curious. Flora Duffy comes out of the swim first. She's got a decent lead on them. She runs up the steps, she gets on her bike, and she basically rides her bike for most of the course on her own. And then that little chase pack comes up behind her, and there's maybe 9 or 10 women in there. Oh my gosh, so many falls from the rain. It was sad. But from the slick surfaces, but they end up catching her, and then even though she's a really strong runner, she doesn't even make the podium, I'm sounding like, I mean, she comes in fifth, like that's awesome, and she's like in 5 Olympics or whatever, but she's amazing, so I don't mean to minimize her, but I'm wondering if in hindsight, would it have been better for her to have come out of the water, in your opinion, out of the water and gotten on the bike and kind of just relaxed and then worked with everybody and saved some energy on that bike?
That is a really good question.
If that would have made a difference in her outcome.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think it depends. Like, I'm guessing that they would have done that for a reason. Although maybe the pack just didn't catch her and they were working together. I don't know.
Catching her because they're working together.
Well, sure,
and then she's
course.
Like got
Doing
wasted
all that,
some
of course.
But lost some yeah. energy and stuff over the course of the ride. So
I mean,
it would
make sense that being
think.
In a pack would save those legs. I don't know enough about her run to
right.
know if like would she have been able to stay with them even on fresh legs, or did they have her go ahead like that and stay ahead because she doesn't have quite the same run, so I don't know the answer to that.
My understanding is that she's pretty strong in the run. So that's where I was like, from the perspective of a bike, would have been a really weird thing to slow down and let people catch you on purpose. I think that would be so, so difficult.
Well, and the thing is that they only have 6 miles, so even if you're a really strong runner, like maybe you're really fast, but you're 5 seconds per mile slower than the other people. Is that 30 seconds that you give up on the bike to join the pack? Can you make that up on the run? So there's you know, it's because
it's a weird math there.
Well, it's way different than what like my 70.3 or Ironman for sure, because it's like there's such,
it's a short distance.
It's a short distance
to make up the time.
And 5 seconds a mile is a huge amount on a race like that.
It is huge.
So I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, my mind was going there. But let's go back to the swim. The swim was a big thing in this race because of the current. They got to have it, and then they had to go against it twice. So tell me about, like, what that does to somebody. I mean, if you're a strong swimmer versus a not strong, if swim is your big thing,
yeah,
was that helpful if you were a strong swimmer versus a mediocre?
So if you are a strong swimmer, that when you, so what happened is that they went one direction and the current was with them. So it was, yep, helping them. And then they flipped it and came back and the current was in their face. And then they did two loops like that. So it, yes, was in their face and then not in their face.
Yeah.
And generally, if you're a stronger swimmer, that swimming into a current has less effect on you, mm-hmm, than somebody who is not a strong swimmer. So I would say that, I mean, it was advantageous for the people who were really strong swimmers, for, mm-hmm, sure, without a doubt. But, you know, I mean, it still affects, you know, I mean, it's still going to affect everybody. It's just going to affect you more if you're not as strong in the water.
Yeah. That is just, and the sport is fascinating to me because all of those elements come into play. In any triathlon, the course is different.
Well, and that's why it was, you know, having, not knowing if they were going to get to swim, if they were not going to know if they were going to get to swim in that river. I mean, because that changes, because if you're not a strong swimmer and then they cancel the swim, it's an entirely different race, mm-hmm, than if the swimming is your strong, you know, and if you have the current or you don't have the current. So it's, they weren't just, you, I mean, and, or if they didn't cancel the swim, but they moved the whole venue and you've trained for that specific venue. So it's like, I mean, talk about having to have a mental game to really, I mean, they had a lot up in the air, and then they delayed the men's race by a day.
Yeah.
And so then they would have raced, you know, a different day, different time. And so it's, and all of those little things, like all those little things when you're all at that same level will totally change the dynamics of a race. Yeah. And so it's a really huge deal to have all that stuff. So you, yeah, really, yeah, it's,
but that would have been the Olympics, man. I mean, it's
yeah. You really have to have your mental game. Eat Wheaties for your brain, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so much mental stuff. Okay, any other sports you want to chime in on? Have you seen any of the not mainstream sports? Triathlon wasn't even mainstream. It wasn't like it got its own. Yeah, come on.
I watched a little surfing, and I'm super excited for
surfing. Oh,
and for breakdancing. Awesome. I can't wait for breakdancing.
There's not breakdancing.
There is. I think it's so cool.
Are you kidding
yes.
me?
Yes. No,
okay, is that like next week? This kind of
I
week?
Can't remember what day it is.
I did watch a little bit of the surfing. Oh my God, that's amazing. Amazing. I watched women's mountain biking.
Oh,
which was so cool. Makes me want to do it.
Mountain biking.
I know. It looks like, doesn't it look like fun? It looks like a roller coaster. Like so.
Oh my gosh.
So fun. But those women, man, they have a lot of grit and endurance and, I mean, talk about bike handling skills.
Oh my gosh.
That's a whole other.
And you know what else we watched?
What?
We watched North Korea and China go for the gold for ping pong. That is fascinating. The eye-hand coordination. It is. It is. And they're like all over. It's like, and it was doubles. I'm like, how do they get four like grown humans around this tiny table with this tiny ball? And like the eye-hand coordination there has got to just be off the charts. Like it was bananas to watch.
I'll have to pull up that. I like that you can go back and on Peacock or whatever, and we DVR'd the entire Olympics.
Yeah.
And that's the sucky poo thing is when I'm scrolling through, there'll be this little box that shows so-and-so wins gold. I'm like, no,
gosh, I know.
Hide those. How do you hide those?
I don't know.
And then I also have had a couple of patients come in and blow things. I need to put a sign on the door that says, don't speak Olympics. Don't speak Olympics until after the Olympics.
just tackle them and put a sock on their mouth. You know what you should go back and watch, though?
What?
Snoop Dogg and Michael Phelps went swimming.
Okay, I did see that.
I'm just so smitten.
I actually did see that. It was hilarious. Snoop Dogg sort of doggy paddle thing. It was hilarious. I thought, oh, that's how I started.
I mean, I'm like, that is triathletes right there,
that
my
is
friend.
How I started.
Yes.
Remember, you yeah. and David were like, oh, how do you say it nicely? You're fighting the water.
Oh my gosh. I just wanted to be like, this is all triathletes. Like, Snoop, we are with you. Like, you are doing great and it's so hard.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious. All right. Well, maybe we'll do another after the second week of Olympics. Maybe we'll do another recap on stuff that we've seen.
We still have another week?
Okay, what's one more?
You got to watch Bob the Cap Catcher.
What's a cap catcher?
Yeah, I know. There was a cap on the bottom of the pool in the Olympics, and Bob the Cap Catcher went in to get it. And he was wearing this, like, old school, really, like, loud Speedo and he like dove in. He was like, become the Olympic hero. There's stuff about him all over. Bob the cap catcher. I have a friend who's decided he's auditioning for LA to be the LA cap catcher.
Oh my God. Okay, so we'll put a link. Maybe we can put a link to
that. Well, I'll put some links to these. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, let's try to find that breathing one too.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, we are in this together.
Until next time.